Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime.
Maybe you'll laugh.
Ha ha, hearty, har, har.
Maybe you'll cry. You definitely will be entertained.
It's that simple. Are we clear? Are we clear?
On with the show, this is it.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, coming to you from the Bradshaw and Bryan at Smart Start MN Studios. We have plenty to talk about today. Lots going on, but we are going to start things on this day after Easter talking about Godzilla versus Kong. I've had to watch it twice to form an opinion. The first time, late at night, I did doze off through a few scenes, and having now watched those scenes, I'm kind of glad I dozed off because I wanted to love this movie, and I don't. I didn't like really the plot. I like Godzilla when he fights Kong, but there's another piece of this where he's fighting, basically, Kong is fighting and Godzilla, a giant robot, and I just can't get into that at all. I guess there's parts of the movie I like, but overall, I don't like it that much, and I would not watch it again. So if you've liked it, good for you. I didn't like it that much. What I did like, or I do like, is the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. This is like a long movie that is just broken up. I guess you get like, what, 40, 45 minutes per segment? And it's not like WandaVision, where it's different type of shows that they're emulating or trying to imitate early on, and then it becomes the storyline kicks in like in episode 6 or 7 of what it's really about. This one gets you right from the start where there's action. And I really am looking forward to episode 4. Just watched episode 3 last night. Comes out, I think, on Thursdays. Absolutely worth watching. And these obviously are more minor characters in the Avengers and in Captain America. The two pals, Bucky, the guy who, you know, basically worked for Hydra. They had his mind polluted and brainwashed. And then the guy that he befriended after he came out of the ice, the Falcon. And it's just a good show to watch. And that you can find on Disney Plus. HBO Max is where you'd find Godzilla versus Kong, as well as theaters. And the other thing I want to mention, I just came across this, had no idea it was being made. Mighty Ducks, a version of Mighty Ducks, Game Changers. And it's a similar story. It's about a bunch of kids who really can't play hockey very well. And it's only been 2 episodes, and I really like it. Emilio Estevez, who played Gordon Bombay in the original Mighty Ducks, the movie that spawned the Anaheim Ducks, is back. He owns an old ice rink, the Ice Palace, and that's where these kids work out. One of the moms takes over. And it seems like it could turn out to be a really good show. Again, only the first 2 episodes have been out on Disney Plus. If you have that, I recommend it. I still have HBO. I'd like to get rid of HBO, but where we are, I don't trust our internet to not have more buffering. So I have not yet gotten rid of HBO, but I really do love some of these channels. They're not ridiculously expensive. I suggest you look into them. And now we are joined by Sal Spice. Besides being an OnlyFans.com sensation, she also fosters dogs, and you foster the ones with the shoved-in faces, right? The pugs, the
most often
bulldogs. They are the one you've been putting photos of, and the one we're going to talk about. I got to tell you, that thing is, his eyes are so. Or is it? It's a male or a female? It's a male, right?
It's a male. Yeah.
His eyes are so expressive. He is
the funniest faces.
Well, he's got a funny face to start, but he is, the way I describe those dogs, they're so ugly, they're adorable. And it's not his fault.
Yes, and I think that,
you know.
No, I think that would describe him well.
Yeah. All right, so we talked last week about a family wanted to adopt him, and you thought they weren't the right family. There was another family that was better. But family A, the family that you thought should not get it because it wasn't a good adoption, did get him, and tell our listeners how long the adoption lasted.
Probably about 2.5 hours.
Okay. How do you decide in that little bit of time it's not going to work after being sure it had to work?
Well, so this was a little bit of an outlier of a situation. This wouldn't normally happen, but she hadn't introduced the potential adoptee to her current dogs.
Oh.
And apparently that did not go over well.
Yeah. You know,
I'm grateful she noticed it quickly.
Wow. And okay, but here's the happy part of the story. The family you thought would be the right family all along is going to get or has already gotten the dog.
They're adopting him this afternoon.
Oh, great. Oh, good. Okay. So everything will work
it's
out.
It's all going to work out.
Okay, hopefully you don't get a call in 3 hours with this one. But they don't have any other dogs, right?
They do have one dog, but he's much older and not very active, and I think they'll get along just fine.
Now, what would
and they've met a few times.
Okay. Oh, they have. All right, so that won't be an issue. What is your advice, having been through this before? Because you said off the air that you've had others that didn't work out. My thought would be, if you want to adopt a dog, you really shouldn't have any other dogs in the house, because there could be that problem. Or the other dogs has to meet, because dogs can be territorial.
Yeah, well, they're always it's a pretty general rule that they're always supposed to meet on neutral territory. You're not supposed to just bring a dog into a house where another dog where it is their territory. They're supposed to meet, you know, out in a park or on a walk, so that it's not as threatening to them. But I would say in general, I mean, they call it the rules of threes with adopting dogs. You know, it takes them 3 hours to check out the new situation they're living in. It takes them 3 weeks to get to know the person that adopts them, habits and routine, and to settle in with that. And then it takes them 3 months to fully feel comfortable and unwind in their new home.
Wow.
So these people that think it's just going to be a few hours or a couple of days, it's really unrealistic and not fair to the dog. And you really shouldn't plan. You shouldn't have those expectations, because it's really not fair.
Well, how do you make it work when you foster dogs? Because you have dogs of your own, right? Or dog of your own.
Yeah. It can be challenging, but I just try my best. I mean, it's challenging because I'm one person, but I try my best to just introduce them in the backyard. My dogs aren't super outdoorsy, so that they don't feel threatened when someone's in their yard necessarily.
Okay.
And then in the house, I just, you know, you introduce new dogs to your house a room at a time. You don't let them just have free reign of the house. You know, you let them be in the living room, then you let them go into the kitchen as well, you know, over several days.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it's a very overwhelming space to them, especially if they're used to just being in a crate.
Now, you've had how many have you fostered over the years?
Oh, probably 20 or so.
Is he your favorite?
Yeah, he's my favorite.
He's just, but you could tell that he's mischievous just from his eyes and the way he looks. That he's just a lot of fun.
He's so fun, and he doesn't really have any baggage, which isn't really fair to my other fosters, but he's just so young that he's just a blank slate, and he is mischievous, but he's just so funny and happy, and I love him.
And you'll see him, because he's in the neighborhood, right? He's staying in your neighborhood?
He'll just live a block away, so I can just see him out on walks, and maybe I'll see him in the backyard when I walk by, and it'll be great.
Oh, that's wonderful. This is a happy ending, and I know that you were concerned last week when we spoke that it was not going to work, and but it did work out, and this does have a very happy ending, and which is great, and it's great to use the term happy ending in a good way. So
it is, yeah. Right. It is. Just trust your instincts. That's what you should always believe.
All right. Well, Sal, thanks so much. Sal Spice, check her out on OnlyFans.com. Look forward to talking to you again. Take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
Congratulations to all the Minnesota businesses that scraped through the last year. It sure hasn't been easy, but we've done it together. And while we certainly need to move forward, it's good to reflect on what we've been through and the many losses. Here at Bradshaw and Bryant, we held a lot of Zoom meetings, increased our phone calls, and have done our best to keep up with all the changes while continuing to provide quality work. We'd like to thank everyone that turned to us with their personal injury and criminal needs, as well as the courtrooms, for bringing the community back together to serve justice. We look forward to being part of Minnesota's growth and success for many years to come. I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. I hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, don't sign anything till you've talked to us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys, at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Smart Start MN ignition interlock system knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start ignition interlock system installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start ignition interlock system prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. We are joined by Joe Johnson. He is the owner, the editor, the publisher, the everything for, I got to get them all right now, Vikings, yeah. VikingsTerritory.com, PurplePTSD.com, MiniIce.com. Is Oofta out there now? I know your Oofta is going to be a big, big deal for you. Is that one?
No. So, like all things in life, it's more complicated than it originally appeared. So I just upped the budget of that by like 75%. So it got delayed 45 days.
Ooh, all right.
But, mainly because it's an app, so I don't know how to build apps. I only know how to build websites. But our general NFL site, FranchiseTag.com, is up. Our draft specific site, TheDraftTeam.com, just went live, I'd say, about a week and a half ago. So we're doing a lot. Hopefully the app will be ready by, early summer, and then people can kind of see everything in one place.
Well, you are a website mogul. We'll call you that. And but let's talk some Vikings here. You had mentioned off the air about the whole best player available versus position of need. Now, I really do go with best player available. If you got a guy that's so much better than a position of need, don't downgrade and get the position of need. Take the best player and you make it work.
I think, it's a very complicated sort of team-by-team thing for me. I think that, there's caveats to it, right? Like, I don't think any team 100% does best player available. If they have a franchise quarterback, they're not going to draft another potential franchise quarterback if that quarterback's, 30 or under, so they're not going to necessarily take the best player available. But if there's, like, a stud edge for a team that doesn't necessarily need one, I could see that. For the Vikings, though, I feel like all the consensus this last week and a half has, and a lot of it's based on PFF kind of putting out there that the Vikings interior of their offensive line is the worst position group in all of the NFL, which is essentially what they said this week, that they've done enough in free agency to patch up a lot of the question marks on defense, that or restructuring Anthony Barr, keeping him, getting Eric Kendricks back, maybe depending on what happens with Danielle Hunter, to the point that they're really only looking for another edge, if that. But I feel like when it comes to the draft and best player available as it pertains to the Vikings, I look at each position that they could potentially draft and what the benefit would be if that position panned out. Like, what they be better off if they landed a stud edge opposite to Neil Hunter, assuming he's back, or would they be better off if they ended up with like a Sewell from Oregon as their left tackle for the next decade plus? I think the benefits of having a good offensive line for this Vikings team can't be, not even good, just mediocre, can't be overstated. I think that Cousins, a lot of people aren't a fan of his, but he hasn't had any semblance of pass protection since he got here. They're the 27th ranked unit pass protection for the first 2 years, then they dropped to 29th last year. I just feel like the Vikings have to look at position of need and go there with 14 or whatever their first pick ends up being. Maybe they can trade down if they're looking for a guard, but getting rid of Riley Reiff kind of threw a wrench in a lot of that because they now have essentially three positions, you could argue four with Garrett Bradbury not really panning out, that have gigantic question marks on an offensive line that they've, you know, basically treated as an afterthought forever. And what did they do in free agency? Every single free agent was on the defensive side of the ball because Zimmer can't help himself and Spielman can't say no. So I'm not super excited for the draft, but I think for other teams, contending teams, best player available works in Vikings in 2017 or 2018. Surprisingly or unsurprisingly, that tends to be a corner when Zimmer's involved. But I've never been a gigantic fan of best player available because I feel like you can kind of do a mix of best player available and position of need and see what the risk benefit ratio is per position. And again, I think the Vikings could have an elite offense if they just had like a decent pocket to throw from.
Well, the problem I think is Zimmer definitely has a blind spot when it comes to the offensive line, because he did a get together with people in the media on Zoom or whatever, however the heck he does it, and talked about how, well, the offense, you know, they were ranked pretty good. So I don't think he sees how bad that offensive line is or wants to, because he would rather stock up on defense than the offense, which is what he did. And it's going to bite him in the butt. And during the season, he'll probably lose his job because you cannot ignore. You're right. You cannot ignore that offensive line. And they have got to do something, because Brian McNeil, you can't keep moving him. For Brian O'Neill, you can't say, well, we'll make him the left tackle, then you need a right tackle. And you definitely, you're right, the interior is a major problem at the two guards. And, the center, maybe, I know you've talked to John Sullivan, and he doesn't think he can handle it or has handled it well. Maybe he could handle it well enough, because I don't think they should be. They did bring in a guy who has been a center. Maybe he winds up being the center, and they move Bradbury to guard. There are a lot of things we don't know, but Zimmer went through the list of guys, and he sounds like he's relatively content with the guys he has, and that, as people who watch that line, it's a major mistake. I will say this, by the way.
I heard that until now, and that's horrifying, because I feel like, you know, year after year on my radio show, which was a podcast for a long time, everyone tells me, you know, stop panicking. They have a plan. They know more than you do. Which I would assume that they do, but I don't know if that's a conscious thing for Zimmer, if he really believes what he's saying, if he's just – that's just, you know, bluster for the media. I mean, I can't imagine – you know, I just feel like when I completely jumped on the Zimmer – well, they're never going to win with Zimmer – train, it was after last year's draft, and I was pretty much the only person in independent sort of blog, if you want to call it that, Vikings media, who was not enamored with last year's draft. And I wasn't, because they had 15 picks and they only used one on an actual player who had played guard before, and it was the 15th pick, and it was the second to last pick in the entire draft. And it was, you know, five of the 15 players were DBs. I was like, they just did what Zimmer did, and they multiplied it by three because they had more picks. They can't seem to learn from their successes or lack thereof and failures. And to hear that Zimmer literally is trying to, there's an episode of The Simpsons from back in the day where Marge gets this really nice Chanel dress from an outlet mall, and they go to a country club, but she has to keep cutting it up and turning it into a different dress on the sewing machine because she can't afford another one. And I feel like that's the Vikings offensive line. They just keep, you know, shifting guys around that haven't been good here, so maybe they'll be not horrible there. Wait, they're horrible there too? Like, TJ Clemmings is a good example of that. Elf line, you know, it's just through lack of investment, they have no depth. Whenever they get close to depth, they cut it. You know, they can try to be a run-first team all you want, but it's 2021. It's the number one thing that you invest in. Look what Stefanski did. The first thing he did when he got to Cleveland was shore up that offensive line. They ended up with the number one offensive line in the entire NFL, like, because he played under Zimmer and he understood
how bad those lines can be.
Those failures, you know what I mean? It's just, it's dumb. It's a fireable offense for me at this point. It has been for a long time, and I'm sure people are going to, you know, rail me for being super pessimistic, but it's not pessimism, it's realism at this point. If he really believes that, or if he doesn't, I guess doesn't matter at this point because the outcome's the same.
You know, there are at least, actually, because Rashad Bateman he's probably going to last a little while, but there are at least three or more terrific wide receivers in this draft. would, you know, if one of them is sitting there, that might be the best player there. Take them, because they could use a great, another, well, a really good third receiver. And also, Thielen's getting in his 30s. I have no problem if they took one of the top receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I do a radio show in Detroit Lakes, so this is probably blasphemy, but, you know, and his cap hit's high. I mean, he is really good. I think the way that Thielen plays won't really deteriorate much with age, because he's such a possession guy and a big, you know, catch radius guy. But everyone's talking about Devonta Smith too, that wide receiver from Alabama, who might be available at 14. And if the Vikings aren't going to invest in the offensive line at 14, I would much prefer them going the wide receiver route, because then you have three guys you can dump the ball off to who can make something happen each time.
Well, but also this Jamar Chase is another terrific player, and they have there's the other kid from Alabama who's phenomenal. They compare him to Tyreek Hill. So there are great players there at the wide receiver position, and it wouldn't be a bad – Rashad Bateman is going to be a standout in the league as well. So there are plenty of options out there. And, Joe, I look forward to talking to you again. And so how many days before UFTA has its debut?
At this point, it's looking like mid-May.
It'll be here before you know it. All right.
Yeah, you know, patience is a virtue, they say.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know if I believe it, but anyway. All right, Joe Johnson, the man behind all those websites, VikingsTerritory.com, Purple PTSD, Mini Ice, check those out. And then you got I hope that on every website you have links to all the others so people can find them.
Yeah, we do. Up in the top menu, if you look, you can you'll see it. All right. It's pretty easy.
Because I'll spend half a segment going through all of them. You've got so many. You website mogul. All right, we'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back. If you have been laid off during the COVID-19 crisis and you have sustained a work injury in the past, you might be entitled to workers' compensation benefits right now. Bialke Law is open to serve you and answer any questions you might have about workers' compensation. Call Dave Bialke at Bialke Law and talk to him about your injury, even if you're off work right now. Dave Bialke will get you the benefits you and your family need within as little as a few days. There is no out-of-pocket cost to you and no in-person visits required. The entire process can be done from the comfort and safety of your home. Even if you're unemployed and receiving unemployment benefits, you could be eligible for workers' comp over and above unemployment. Call Dave Bialke today at 763-571-2410 or look him up at bialkelaw.com, BIALKELaw.com. If you or someone you know has a plumbing, heating, or air conditioning issue, there's only one place to go. Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Bob Sansevier, and Sabre Heating is my go-to place for plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. And if I have any questions, I just pick up the phone and call, or I go to SaberHeating.com. Saber has a great offer for you. If another company tells you you need a new air conditioner, you get in touch with Saber, and they will send a technician for free, no cost, and let you know if you actually do, because sometimes other people are wrong. Any issues, whether, again, it's plumbing, heating, or air conditioning, go to SaberHeating.com, SabreHeating.com, or call 763-473-2267.
Also, right now, Sabre is offering a terrific deal. You get 10% off a new air conditioner if you mention the BS Show. And that's on top of other great discounts and deals offered by Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Bob Sansevier, and I'm a huge fan of Ike Motor Company in St. Cloud. I went there and bought a pre-owned Volkswagen TDI. That's their diesel version. My son Sawyer liked it so much, he bought one like mine. Then two of Sawyer's friends saw his, liked it, and they each bought a Volkswagen TDI of their own. There's a lot to like at Ike Motor Company, which offers great deals, great service, and an all-around great experience at both their Volkswagen and Mazda dealerships. Ike Motor Company is the oldest dealership in Minnesota, and now the oldest dealership also has the newest dealership in the state. Ike just opened its new Mazda showroom and service center, and let me tell you, it is the nicest showroom I've ever been in. For more information, go to IkeMotor.com. That's E-I-C-H Motor.com. We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is our attorney, lawyer, barrister extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff can talk. You name the topic, he can talk about it. So let's start with this topic. Major League Baseball is pulling the All-Star game out of Georgia
because the claim is racism in the new voting laws. And I need that explained to me. Where is it racist where everyone has to vote the same way? And are they asking for some sort of special ID that no one has?
No.
I'm confused by it. I truly am.
I think it's racist on the part of the critics of the changes to assume that minorities can't figure out how to identify their driver's license number on their driver's license to be able to complete the absentee ballot application, because that was Mark Elias, the Democrat lawyer. That was his thing. He tweeted out over the weekend about that. And it's like, that's a racist. You're just assuming that minorities are don't know how to do this. Why? Where does it say that they can't? I mean, it's just every time they get pressed as to what exactly the provision is that they have a problem with, they can't. The Democrats can't specify. You know, photo ID. 40 states have photo ID. This myth that you can't provide food and drink to people and voters waiting in line, that's only for campaigns and electioneering. That's just common sense. Poll workers can do that. You know, this replacing election officials has been blown out of proportion. That gives the state the ability to replace local election officials where there's been like multiple instances of malfeasance and there's no way to get them out. So it seems very common sense. And actually, to his credit, Dean Phillips, the Democrat congressman from the 3rd District, tweeted that out yesterday afternoon. He actually took time to read the bill and said it's not as bad as the critics say. And of course, he got pilloried for it by his part, people from his party, breaking from the narrative.
So that's the problem. I think that these are Democratic talking points that Major League Baseball listened to, and that's how they reacted. And maybe no one read it there either.
I think Major League Baseball bowed to what I heard was that they bowed to their woke corporate sponsors. And some sources are saying that the players weren't even consulted about this. The players had no involvement in this whatsoever.
Well, the spin is that the players are the ones that were going to boycott the game. That's what they were putting out.
That's not true at all. So, you know, this is more of Joe Biden and the Democrats' attempts to divide people along, you know, on race issues, and it's really pathetic and sad. And thank God Chris Christie went on the Sunday morning talk shows and called them out on it.
Well, you know, Jeff, the whole idea of, and that's a very big distinction, the campaigns bringing food and water, you cannot wear a button, or that's what I've been told or heard for years. You can't have anything that shows what campaign you favor within X number of yards of the polling places. There's nothing wrong with that law.
If you walk in with a campaign T-shirt, you've got it to make you go out and turn it inside out and come back in. I mean,
it's fair.
That's, yeah. Well, here at the polls, that just seems so basic.
Well, I don't, and also try going to the Democratic National Committee or getting into anywhere, any like Washington building nowadays without some sort of an ID, and that you're not going to get through. I don't have a problem. I don't understand why. Well, I do understand why there's this insistence. Oh, you have to take people at face value that they're not lying about who they are. Give me a break. I mean, I can't go and renew my driver's license, or not even my license, my registration. You know, every year we have to get a new registration without proof of insurance and without them looking at my driver's license. It's absolutely absurd.
You can't pick up tickets at will call at a Major League Baseball stadium without a photo ID.
Yeah, they're not going to take you at face value. So why should we do that when really one of the most sacred things we do as citizens is vote? It's absolutely absurd. Not absurd, though, is what happened the other day. Jalen Suggs, Minnesota kid, that was phenomenal. This 40-foot or more
amazing
shot he made, bank shot, to catapult Gonzaga into the championship game. UCLA played a terrific game. They both did. That was a lot of fun to watch that game.
Yeah, it was. And what I loved the best about that shot, Bob, was not just, you know, he comes down almost from half court and puts it in. It's if you see from the angle from behind him, there was another camera angle, the video where you see him running over to the table. He knew that shot was going in the minute it left his hands. He starts making his way to the scorer's table. that was what was cool about it. He knew that was not just a throw it up and hope for it. He knew that shot was going in, and then went up. People are saying, "Oh, he did his Dwayne Wade on the scores table." And someone said, "Racer reminds me of Khalid El Amin in the state tournament. I think it was in the mid '90s when he, you know, when he fired the game-winning shot for Minneapolis North against St. Thomas, and then jumped up on the scores table." And you look at the two together, it was almost it's like Suggs had to have seen that video because it's like a you know frame by frame. Parallel, so it's kind of cool. But no, hey, they play tonight, and I'm pulling for him.
Well, I am too. And you know, the thing that's unfortunate about his athletic career is we won't get to see him play college football, obviously, because he's playing college basketball.
Right.
He would be he was in high school. He was Mr. Football, Mr. Basketball. He's a phenomenal quarterback. I just wish we had an opportunity to see him play quarterback. And that certainly, he can't pull double duty at Gonzaga because I'm sure they don't have a football team.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I can see, you know, the days of when Dave Winfield was allowed to play baseball and basketball at the U, you know, they don't do that anymore. They have to pick a sport and go with it when they get into college now. And so you're right. It's unfortunate that we can't see him play football as well because I've seen some highlight films from his high school days, and he was phenomenal.
Well, it's not like the old Bud Grant days when he played football, basketball, and baseball. Those days are sadly long gone, and sadly, yeah. Pretty much long gone in high schools too, because they pick a sport and the coaches make them play that sport year round, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
You're better off being an average player because you get to do all the sports you want then. All right, now
exactly.
I saw a picture last week of you as a child wearing a Tony Oliva hitting school shirt, which has made a comeback thanks to, well, I mean, it's Soda Stick does great, some great shirts. Mm-hmm. They have one for Chuck Foreman doing the spin move. How did this thing come back? Well, was it because of
so
you?
What happened, yeah, kind of. So what happened was it was a couple weeks ago. It was a Sunday morning, and it was the it would have been Kirby Puckett's 61st birthday. And my two favorite twins of all time were Kirby Puckett and Tony Oliva, and largely because of when I met them in person at Tony Oliva Hitting School. My brother and I went there in 87 and 88 when we were in Little League. We went to his hitting school. He had a hitting school at Red Scott Field in Bloomington. They had a big batting cage, and that's where you'd have this hitting school. And once during the camp, Tony would come out, and he would bring players. And both those years, he brought Kirby out. Of course, you know, 87, it was big because the Twins were,
sure,
you know, running, starting, you know, making their run for the first World Series. And 88 was even cooler because he brought Kirby out the ring on that year. But they were, so I got a chance to meet Kirby, and I had the, you know, we wear our shirts every day, our hitting school shirts. And somebody I was taking a photograph of me with Kirby, and someone told Kirby, act like you're giving him a lesson. So Kirby started telling me, giving me a lesson as to how to grip the bat, you know, the knuckles over knuckles. I can tell you, I never, ever gripped the bat differently ever since Kirby Puckett told me how to grip a baseball bat. But I put this picture up because it was a Twins Almanac Twitter account, and they said, what's your favorite Kirby memory? And I said, getting this lesson as to how to grip the bat from him at Tony Oliva Hitting School. And I had the shirt on. They tagged in Soda Stick and said, hey, we'd love to have Tony Oliva Hitting School shirt. Soda Stick tags in NHQ, and of course I know Sean. We all start talking, and I'm working with Anita Oliva, Tony's daughter, on a project, and I reach out and I said, hey, I kind of started something on Twitter. You want to talk to your dad about this? So we ultimately reached a deal, and Tony was very adamant. He was concerned about this not being false advertising, so every shirt will have a hang tag on it that explains that there was an actual Tony Oliva hitting school in the late 80s and early 90s that existed, and this was the shirt that you would get as a camp attendee. Yeah, so they're available now through Soda Stick. They're going to be available, I think, you can pick them up through Fan HQ, or have them shipped to you. There's going to be hopefully some other products coming out of it, but I think it's just really cool because, you know, everybody's got a Tony Oliva story. Everybody just loves Tony if they've met him, and I think it's going to be really cool to be able to, you know, I think we're going to see the people back in Target Field stands this year. I think we're going to see some Tony Oliva hitting school shirts in the stands.
Soda Stick does a great job. They are, they're a sponsor
they
of the Jim Bob Sports Jam with, you know, I co-hosted with Chuck Foreman and Jim Rich, and they, I have some of their shirts, and they are absolutely phenomenal. I love everything that those guys put out. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciate it. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Take a quick break, and the BS Show will be right back.
If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, go to smartstartmn.com/the BS Show, and you will get information for 20% off an ignition interlock system. Again, smartstartmn.com/the BS Show.
This is Bob Sansevier, host of The BS Show, and I have some great news for CBD users. Smokin' Monkey in Buffalo and St. Cloud. You can get capsules, you can get creams, you can get even roll-ons. This is the place to go for CBD products. Smokin' Monkey, call 763-276-1089.
I've been telling BS Show listeners about Bradshaw and Bryant for years and about how they always are seeking justice for the injured at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Bradshaw and Bryant also has attorneys who defend people against misdemeanor and felony criminal charges, and that includes drunk driving arrests. Bradshaw and Bryant seeks justice for everyone, and you can find out more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a health-sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, call 844-313-4999. Again, 844-313-4999 or visit SolidarityHealthShare.org. That's SolidarityHealthShare.org. We are joined by Dave Bialke from Bialke Law, BIALKELaw.com. Besides being the best workers' comp attorney you will find anywhere, and I know that because my wife used Dave years ago. She was very, very pleased with the outcome. Dave is also an Uber fan. He's been to 30 of the 32 stadiums on the road the Twins have played. He also has traveled to London with the Vikings, goes to about half their road games. Again, this is in a normal non-COVID situation. Hopefully you can get out to some of those games this fall and maybe catch Detroit this season with the Twins. Now, Dave, your Twins should be undefeated. Would have been undefeated if they hadn't. Just a bonehead move by the, you know, by the pitcher, Colome, just, you know, went to second base with one out instead of going the first for the sure out, and that just led to 3 earned runs in the first game, and they wound up losing, but they've won the last two. Where are you on the team right now? Because that one, I don't think they're going to make that mistake again. But
I don't think so either. That's one of those that can either deflate a team or you bounce back from it, and they did the positive. It's one of these, like you said, it was a bonehead move. It was a kind of a rookie mistake saying, you know, oh, get the lead runner. Well, you know, you're in the ninth inning, you're up by 3 runs. You don't care about the lead runner. You care about outs. And he's just a guy who's experienced like that shouldn't make that. But at the same time, it's the first game of the season. You know, you're going to see a mental error here and there. To me, it was obviously he was not good to see, but it was not a real bad deal unless they let the whole team was, you know, walk around with their heads down. But that didn't happen. They came back with 2 strong games, and, you know, I'm happy right now.
Now, how do you feel about Berríos? That was he was having a no-hitter going there, and then
it was unreal to see. And it's too bad it was happening so soon in the season before he's got the stamina. Because, you know, Baldelli's got to do what he's got to do. And so I not disagree with Baldelli. It's just unfortunate the guy pitches 5 innings and without a hit. And then here he is being pulled. I read an interview that he said that he didn't sulk or anything like that. And then he had thought that he wasn't even thinking that he was throwing a no-hitter. And he said later, you know, I was like, well, what are you, you been upset? Well, yeah, I probably would have said something to him if I hadn't realized that.
Well, it's again, it's early in the season. You want to watch and protect your pitchers. So, and I like Rocco. I think that, you know, he is a good manager. So we'll see how it plays out. Now, how about you? You got anything special you need to get yet for your home debut coming up?
Not really. I've got my ticket. I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have any superstitions before you go to a game to help the team win?
No, I wish I did. Maybe it'd be more fun, but I'm just not a superstitious guy.
Well, how early will you get to the game? I mean, to take it all in, are you there when the gates open, or do you wander in just before the first pitch?
I always wander in just before the first pitch. Now, if the weather is nice on opening day, I might go a little early. I might go an hour early just to walk around a little bit, especially it's been so long since I've been there. So,
yeah. Well, you and everyone else, that's absolutely right. Yeah. And I just wonder how many, if there'll be scalpers outside, because these tickets, they limited it to 10,000. So if you get your hands on it as a scalper, that you are going to get top dollar, I would think, for that ticket.
I would think, and it's also a good team. I mean, it's not just going to the opening game of that nobody's been in a park for over a year. But it's also a good team to watch. And they're kind of being evaluated as being the second best team in the American League behind the Yankees. It might not be that high, but they're still a very good team. It's nothing like going out and having an opening day and watching a good baseball team on a nice day in a good stadium.
Now, did you have any trouble deciding who was going with you? Did you?
No, we decided I have a ticket partner and we're going together at that game.
Oh, okay. All right.
We exchanged some texts and then he says, let's just do this together. He says, we deserve it.
He's right. Well, we've talked about this before, but have you ever just had an arrangement that for the home opener, it's always you two that go? Or is it normally like that, where both of you both go to the home opener?
That is typically the way it's been. But over the last few years, one or both of us has had a conflict on that day. We said, you just take both tickets.
Okay. Now, we mentioned a few minutes ago about how the weather, how nice it could be, and the way it was yesterday was spectacular. Today's supposed to be another spectacular day. With workers' comp, what changes do you see when the weather gets nicer? A lot more injuries of construction workers? I would think that you're going to see more of those as people get it. But there is construction that does go on through the winter, but there's a lot more outdoor construction. Are you seeing a lot more of people that do work in the outdoors with workers' comp issues?
Exactly. In addition to the, like you said, like carpenters, concrete guys, whatever, they're typically working all winter long. But the ones that do start up, there's landscapers. Then all the road construction is a big one.
Okay.
That, guys operating pavers and all that, then they're back. And they work long hours. There's injuries that occur in that area. A lot of times, just out of fatigue. It's just a matter of time things wear out. I've got a guy right now has been operating a paver for a long time. He's got a bad shoulder, and he wants to go back because he makes a lot of money, but he had a bad shoulder injury and two surgeries. I don't know where he's headed. We'll see how that shakes out.
All right, now, Dave, I got to ask you about this one. If you've ever had if I was going to have a job that I thought, my God, this doesn't look so bad, it's the guy that holds a sign and spins it slow and stop. Have you ever had an injury by one of them? Maybe the carpal tunnel, or maybe they cut their hand spinning the sign? Because, I mean, that to me, that's a great job for somebody who's getting a little up there in years, because you just have to stand there and spin the sign.
It's a great job, but it's typically not one that guys pick. Typically, the ones that are doing that are ones that already have an injury and they're on.
Oh, okay. So it's not like you get hired to hold the sign.
No, I mean, they do that, but not very often. Usually, if someone's got restrictions, they're saying, hey, rather than, paying him to not do anything, we need to have a sign guy. So they pay him to be out there and move the sign back and forth.
No, it works. All right. Now, Dave, obviously people can go to BialkeLaw.com, BialkeLaw.com, or they can call this number you're going to share.
Call me at 763-571-2410. That's 763-571-2410.
Dave, thanks so much, and enjoy that home opener. And now, here is psychic Ruth Lorden.
Sports. It's always been part of the world. Audiences love to gather. I've been to the Colosseum. And let's face it, the ancient Greeks had the Olympics, the Shaolin Temple in China, and whoa, if you want to be an athlete, the Kung Fu monks got everybody beat. But I do feel that in our expanding America and expanding world, and with the new restrictions, I feel rodeo, mixed martial arts, and a brand new sport that will come out of America, also video gaming. This will be taking over the markets. You know, we love new things. It's part of nature. We evolve. And I've been tuning into this, and I do predict, whereas baseball always survives, football always survives, more is more. There is room at the table for brand new sports, and I do feel that rodeo, video game competitions, and martial arts will be joining the table.
If you'd like to set up a reading with Ruth, go to ruthlordan.com, Ruth, LORDAN.com. Thank you to all of our guests, all of our sponsors, all of our listeners. Also, our radio partners, KDAL in Duluth, WNMT in Hibbing, and WBHR in St. Cloud. Coming to you from the Brad Sean Bryant and Smart Start MN studios, we'll talk to you later.